Many times in the material life, when we have when we are in misery or we have a lot of problems, we tend to remember Krishna a lot, and that is when we have a lot of sincerity in following Krishna, his instructions and Guru's instructions. But later on, when these problems, say the material problems, they pass away and things get normal, so at that time we perhaps lose our enthusiasm and determination which we had earlier in following Krishna's and our teacher's instructions. So, Maharaj, how can we remind ourselves to not be demanding from the Lord and follow His instructions in a nice manner? And how can we not lose determination?
That's the regular practice. If we just wait to practice devotional service till there's some disturbance, some problem, then we get very serious, and the problem subsides, then we forget. That's not so good. Therefore, there's sadhana, regular practice, so that he is always engaged. Because we recognize that we always have a problem. Sometimes it's a bigger problem, sometimes a smaller problem. But material life means we're in problems. So therefore practice. By practice, abhyas. Abhyasa yogi of pain or chaita sananam. By practice, the mind becomes fixed so that it doesn't go here and there. And don't worry, there'll be some more problems coming along to give you a boost. Something else? Yes?
Maharaj, when we follow, when we go in Krishna consciousness, to my belief, the...
That microphone is for her.
Hare Krishna.
Hi.
Maharaj, what I feel is, you know, when you try to get to the path of Krishna consciousness, the biggest hurdle I personally find is the ego. You understand you need to go back to Godhead. You understand what is Krishna consciousness. You understand, you know, the gravity of it. But at times when you are in this material world, you follow, you are into your... the general practices, you tend to go towards Krishna consciousness, but somehow get stuck with this ego.
And ego means what?
Ego as in, you know, when, say for example, if I take my case, I am in corporate, I work in human resources. Now, you know, every time some situation comes up wherein you start doubting things, right? You start doubting about pretty many things that you know aren't there. So, you know, maybe you need to be humble. So, like, you know, all the greatest of Maharaj and, you know, Prabhuji that I've met, they are so very humble. And then when we in corporate or we in material world, we somehow get stuck with this, you know, behavioral ego that we kind of, you know, tend to leave this Krishna consciousness or, you know, kind of find difficulty following it. So how to kill that ego? Like, how to kill
ego
this?
Ego means what?
The deviations. I'd say the deviations, the mental deviations that you find. You tend to start feeling that you are good, you are strong, maybe you do not need it, maybe at times you feel like you want it. So, you know, your stability, the thoughts, you know, you want to understand that you need to be humble to follow something, to get back to, you know, the consciousness. So, that is what exactly...
So, ego means identity.
Yes, absolutely.
So you can't kill your identity, you have an identity. But now we're working under a false identity.
Right.
So you can't kill your false identity, you have to come to the real identity.
But how to do that, Maharaj?
Chant Hare Krishna. You chant Hare Krishna, remember Krishna, remember I'm servant of Krishna. When you're a servant of Krishna, then you're not something else. When the real thing is there, then the false thing automatically comes. irrelevant. But if you don't have the real thing, then you have to have something. And then you take the false thing. So chant Hare Krishna, be engaged in Krishna consciousness. Then the real thing will displace the false thing. Okay. Something else.
Hare Krishna, I and in this material world we are getting very less time. So how we can increase our Krishna consciousness? By only chanting Hare Krishna can we increase our Krishna consciousness?
Why not?
By only chanting.
Why not? Why not? Why not?
Only while chanting, we can
be. Chant Hare Krishna. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, you can do everything. And along with, if you get tired of chanting Hare Krishna, then we have books. If you get tired of the chanting and the books, we have prasada. Is there any difficulty?
No difficulty. Actually, then how we can increase our Krishna consciousness?
How do we increase it?
Increase our Krishna consciousness.
Chanting Hare Krishna, reading the books, take prasadam, associate with the devotees.
Thank you.
Render service.
Hare Krishna. My question is, if a girl is married to a boy, their boy's family or boy is unfavorable to, you know, Krishna consciousness, and if a girl is in Krishna consciousness, then how she can transform boy's family or boy to believe, because they are not aware of this. So
first thing, you be Krishna conscious before we take on the project of transforming the whole family or even transforming the boy. First thing is, let me transform myself. Then by your example, others may be transformed. That's the main thing. You be Krishna conscious, chant Hare Krishna, be happy, and in so many ways, be Krishna conscious. And others may also be influenced. So see this girl is happy, she's onto something, she has something. So that. So automatically they make their control.
Thank you.
And if they don't, well, no loss to you, at least you become Krishna conscious more.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, so I have discussions with my friends who are not into Krishna conscious moment, but in general they are interested in Gita.
Hold on a second, they're coming. Let's try again.
Also, Maharaj, I have a discussion with my friends regarding Bhagavad Gita, and they are interested. And
that's better.
Okay. So I explained them the five subject matters of Gita, and when I say it's God, living entity, they were like, why God is here in that? Can I, we'll filter on God and we'll study other things. Like, there is good things, you should do your work, but do not expect results. So it's a good philosophy. And also, so when I say this is the science of God realization, they put forward argument, don't bring science here, this is not a science, this is just a faith.
This is not
a science, this is just a faith. Believe. They consider science means what scientists does. Producing missiles, neurons, electrons, protons. That's how they consider. So what explanation I should give? They are interested, they are coming towards this, but they have this inhibitions in them. They have first inhibition also to accept it as a soul, that soul also exists. Or not?
Not also, they don't.
They are confused.
But before we get to God, you haven't even gotten to the point of understanding yourself. First you understand what you are, then we'll think about God, no God. We don't even know what you are, or to speak of what God is. But first we have to settle this question. whether you're simply a combination of atoms, protons, neutrons, electrons, carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, this, that, mucus, bile, yeah. Whether you're just a combination of material elements or you're something else. Consciousness is only coming from material elements, or consciousness is something else. If it's only material elements, that's all right. But then who cares about you? Because you're just suppose in your scientific laboratory, you have a beaker with some elements in it, some chemicals, some hydrogen, some nitrogen, some potassium, some this, some that, bubbling away. And suppose someone comes and on purpose or by accident knocks it over. Are you going to cry? Well, you mop it up and you go on with your life. So your girlfriend or your wife or your mother or your father, that's all they are. They're just chemicals, according to your materialistic theory. They're just containers with chemicals bubbling away. So if we shoot them or run over them with a truck or in some other way, why should you cry?
That's a very good argument. I definitely use it.
Very good. This is Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's giving that argument. Second chapter.
Hi, Krishna. So, I was yesterday discussing with my wife on the topic of Achintya Bhedabhed, and we were discussing on how Lord and the Trinity are one and separate. And you know, she came up with a very beautiful question saying that when it is Achintya, then why are we thinking on that? Yeah. And,
you can think about it, but you can't quite get it.
So my question was, while I was driving to the temple, I was thinking in my mind, is it Achintya to everyone? I mean, only to the materialistic people, or it is Achintya to...
It's even Achintya to Krishna. He can't fully understand himself. Krishna is unlimited, and his knowledge potency is unlimited. So to understand himself, he can expand his knowledge potency. But then he himself expands further. Then he has to expand his knowledge potency further, then he expands. But even Krishna can't get to the end of himself.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Here we have been taught. Hello?
Yes.
We have been taught here that we should surrender into Krishna and keep all these material attractions which are out there outside. All these material attractions we should keep at bay. Maybe big cars, big houses, and that big money. But somehow the other way, these things get into our mind, because one day we are here, 5 days we are working in the corporate world with all those material people. So my question is that how can we keep, can you please suggest some ways?
Do a study of those material people. They have the big house, they have the big car, they have the big payments, they have the big mortgage, they have the big anxieties.
Yeah.
That's a fact. All you see is the big car, the big house, but go look at their mail. You'll see the big bills, and therefore on their face you can see the big anxiety, and they have to do work and work and work to pay, and they're not any happier than the villagers. They're working in a big corporate environment, they've got a big house, a villa, they've got this, that, but they're not any happier than the villager. The villager has his house, he has his food. Arguably, he has a more peaceful way of life. And with peace comes greater happiness. So your corporate guy is working like a madman just to keep afloat so that he can have all these things that make him happy. But the result is that he's more and more miserable. Or you take... you can take it on my testimony that in America, they're so advanced in all of these things, you know. Even the common man has so much, you know, that's the way the middle class is coming up here in India. So America was there first, everybody's gotten so much. Do you think they're all happy? Is it that everybody's walking around the streets with a big, you know, grin, a big, big smile because they're overflowing with happiness? They have more things, more comforts, more enjoyments, more this, more freedom to do whatever it is that they want to do, but they're not more happy. So you can work like an ass to come to their standard, but you won't be more happy than anyone else. So what is the point?
Absolutely, Maharaj, thank you.
I have one, maybe you know, Anand Vrindavan in Chopati in Bombay. He's very expert in financial affairs and he counsels devotees. And his first point is, keep your stuff to the minimum. Don't spend more than, you know, you think this is like ABC, like any kindergarten kid could get this. Don't spend money you don't have. You know, is that like you need a PhD to figure that out? It's a simple thing. If you don't have money, don't spend money. And what do people do? They spend money that they don't have. They put it on a credit card, they take a loan, they do this, they do that. And then what? Then they're in anxiety. Because now they owe for this, now they owe for that. And so what are they going to do? Well, they'll switch, you know, they'll take the what they owe on this credit card and switch it to that credit card and then switch it to a third credit card. They'll play that kind of game and they'll get money this way, they'll get money that way. And sometimes they lose their job. Now all these bills are there to the things that they bought with money they don't have. Now what are they going to do? So simple. If you don't have the money, don't buy it. Then you, at least you're peaceful because you don't, you're debt free. People are working like 20 years to get free of debt. It's easier just not to start out with debt. How not to start out with debt? Don't aspire for more and more and more. You see, Javishtalava Santushto. In the Bhagavad Gita, it said one should be satisfied with what comes automatically. According to our karma, someone will get, you know, big money, someone will get small money. But the problem is, whatever it is we have, we're not satisfied. Even the man with the big money, it's not enough compared to the next person who's only small money. His misers are never satisfied. The Krishna says, be satisfied with that, with whatever comes, according to your karma. If it's a smaller house, be happy. If it's a bigger house, all right. It's in between, fine. Whatever Krishna says to you, all right, good. Then someone says, this is not progress. Yes, it's not progress. Is being satisfied with your time. And your progress is to be progressively dissatisfied. So that's not the progress we're looking for. You're an economist. Do you agree with my principle?
Yeah, I do.
Good.
I'm an economics student. I'm in my graduation year. So how can I use the Vedic knowledge, the knowledge presented in Bhagavad Gita?
You present economics in Krishna consciousness. Right. In the Bhagavatam it said, whatever talent you have, whatever ability you have, use that to glorify Krishna. If you're a scientist, glorify Krishna through science. If you're an artist, glorify Krishna through art. If you're a writer, glorify Krishna through writing. If you're an economics, and everybody wants to know the secrets of economic this and that. So you explain things in a Krishna conscious way. You know, I'm not a graduate student in economics, but I could teach a course in basic economics. In fact, I'm planning to do it. You know, the basic secrets of success in economic life. And this is principle one in my course. Don't spend money you don't have. You know, and there are guys with three PhDs who haven't figured that out yet. Keep your fixed costs as close to zero as possible. You know, this is not very difficult, but it's revolutionary. You mean I have to spend less? Yes. So, I don't have any kind of degree in anything, but I could speak something about Krishna consciousness through these basic economic principles. So now you're getting your degree. Use whatever you've learned. Glorify Krishna. Glorify Krishna means that we don't just say, oh, Krishna has a peacock feather, Krishna is playing on his flute. But there's a whole science there. Srimad Bhagavatam is touching on everything. On science, on economics, on art, on you name it. So all of these things, and use it to bring people to Krishna, to Bhagavad-gita, to Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. And also, while I'm thinking of it, Help Run ISKCON. ISKCON is a big corporation, you can say, multinational corporation. So it needs people in every department. It needs pujaris, it needs publicists, it needs salesmen, and it needs people who are looking at the economic realities, seeing that if the institution is properly managed. That also you could do.
I have another question here. So if our ancestors go to hellish planets, if by chance
who goes?
Ancestors.
Yes.
Go to hellish planets and we offer them prasadam in the
shrine.
So would that be beneficial?
Yes.
They might be even demons or...
They can come to ghostly life. They can so yes, this is pretty Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also went to Guyana after the death of his father to offer him the temple of the Lord.
Maharaji, I am coming to this class for last 5 years. Okay. And my life is, I'm feeling, you know, I'm able to chant. When I'm chanting, I'm reading. I feel good and empowered. But somehow I have this fear, okay, that I will lose it. This chanting, the association, serving the Lord, all those things. And again, I'm not finding myself, serious enough in doing chanting and reading Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita.
That's good.
So how should I increase it? I don't know, because something deviates me from it at times.
That's
so when I'm chanting, the thought goes, somewhere else.
You're chanting, the thoughts go elsewhere, you're reading, you get distracted.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing, is to recognize that. That this is my situation. That I like to chant, but when I chant, my mind wanders. When I chant, I become distracted to so many other things. When I read a few minutes, and then my mind starts to wander. So to see that is the first thing. And then the next thing, to desire, to see this is not very good, this is not what I'm looking for. Therefore, I have to do something. I have to associate with those who are more serious, more advanced. I have to act with enthusiasm and determination. Practice. Rupa Goswami said, Dutsa, Nishchaya, Dharya. Have to be patient also. So let me be very serious because I see that I'm deficient. That deficiency platform is good.
we think, yeah, I'm pretty good, I got it down, been chanting for about 6 months, and, you know, it's pretty easy. I'm kind of like the master of chanting, if you know what I mean. Not very hard, and then I've got it all together. And I read like, you know, like a Mooney. I mean, I'm really on top of my game. So that's the person who's not doing very well. To be in a platform of deficiency is good. Because then we have to think, well, I'm not really there yet. Person who's, if you know you're studying for some exam and you think, well, you know, I'm down here and yes, I have to be up here, then you know what you have to do. You have to get serious, you have to get the books, as they say, you have to maybe take some help. So that's good, that we should think that I'm always deficient in Krishna consciousness. Not that we bulk over it, that's the other side of it. Illusion. But I'm wanting. So have to improve.
Can I do? I mean, is there any practice specifically when you are getting devoted? For example, if you have 1 hour of time in a day left, and there are five things, you know, some are very crucial, and you haven't chanted around. So, you know, how should you do that chanting? And
best thing is chanting. Do the chanting first. That means early in the morning. That's the best time for chanting. If you come to like, you know, 9 o'clock at night, now you have to decide whether you're going to do the last crucial things or you're going to chant. Now you're in anxiety and everything is, you know, because you're down to the crunch with five things to do. So best thing is, in the morning, that's the best time anyway. Chant Hare Krishna in the morning, early. Then, later you can deal with all those other things. And the chanting will help you have a clear mind to, you know, do everything better.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So Maharaj, we have studied that Krishna does not interfere with free will of an individual soul, and also we study that Paramatma in the heart, until and unless he sanctions something, we cannot achieve, we probably may cannot do something or cannot achieve the fruits of what we do, how much we endeavor, but we cannot. So Prabhuji, if we try to discuss these things, maybe somebody who do not feel the same way, they can argue that there is a clash between this sanctioning thing and the free will. Like somebody who does something wrong, then why does the Paramatma sanction that activity?
Because you want it, you're insisting on it.
So here we will say that
permitting. He's not authorizing, oh very good. But you want to do it? Alright. Uparashtan wants it, right? Seeing it, he's saying alright. He's not advising it. Bhagavad Gita is advising that you engage in Krishna consciousness. But if you say, no, I'm not going to do that, I want to do this.
I have one more question. Maharaj, like we have, I have not read it, but I just heard it that in the spiritual world, everything is conscious. Like, and everything is trying to serve Krishna in some way or the other. So, Prabhuji, Maharaj, I had one more question that suppose every soul also has a form, its own form. But then in the spiritual world, if we want to serve Krishna in some way, then we can also change forms. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So if someone like asks about the specific form of the soul or something like that,
form of
the soul, actual form of the soul, or what is, which one is the eternal form of the soul, then how would we answer that?
Yes. The soul, of course, just like now, your soul, but you're expanded in terms of matter, in terms of this body. From the spiritual world, they're also soul, but they expand in terms of the spiritual energy. Between the body and the soul, there's a difference in this material world. But in the spiritual world, there's no difference. They're both made of the same energy, spiritual energy. So you can take any form. There's no problem. It's, the real form of the soul is very tiny, like this part. But it can appear in any form, dressed in any way, in any spiritual energy.
Maharaj, if there are some foodstuffs who are trying to serve Krishna, that Krishna eats those foodstuffs, but still those are eternal, right?
Say that again.
Suppose there is milk in spiritual world, and this question may be abstract.
If someone drinks the milk and what happens and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, those will be, and these things we may not come to know now.
You'll have to go there and
yes, ma'am.
So, I was discussing with one of my friends about the four sampradayas, and he was more interested into Sri Sampradaya because they consider Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, right? And when we were discussing about it, so we were just having a discussion on that. If a pure devotee of Sri Sampradaya is going to die, he's going to go back to Vaikunth. And if the pure devotee of a God Mother Brahma Sampradaya is going to die, he's going to go back to Goloka Vrindavan because he's considering Krishna as Supreme Lord. But then we were discussing on this topic of what is going to happen to the devotee who is in Vaikunth? Will he ever come to know about Krishna in the Vaikunth?
First thing is, Krishna and Vishnu are the same. It's the same person, but in different dress or different appearance. So he, yayatamam prabhajan, yayatamam prabhajan. If someone wants Krishna with the majestic form to worship and honor reverence, and Krishna appears as Narayana. Someone wants more informal, God is a cowherd boy, Krishna is there as Gopal. So it's the same Krishna, but he's reciprocating according to the desire of the devotee. So in Vaikuntha, they're not thinking, oh, I'm only in Vaikuntha. If I could be in Goloka Vrindavan, it would be something happy. Just like Hanuman, he's not thinking, oh, I'm worshipping Ram, but only if I could only be engaged in serving Krishna, maybe helping him herd cows or something like that. No, Hanuman's completely happy serving Lord Ramchandra. So this is the position of the devotees in Vaikuntha. Everybody's satisfied with their service to the Lord in a particular form they prefer. Okay.
Maharaj, like if mosquitoes increase in our house, we use mosquito repellents. If rodents increase in our house, we use pest control and all. But later, after getting in touch with this core and Krishna consciousness, I got to know that this is a very big apparat. So, how can we save ourselves from this aparad and still get rid of these pests by not killing them? So, what can be done to avoid this? Because if they are in our house, then we somehow want to get rid of them, and now we also cannot kill them. So,
practical question. For the rodents and so on, a big part of it is cleanliness. You know, if you don't feed someone, if you don't feed the guest, then after a while the guest feels unwanted and goes away. So if everything's ultra clean, then especially the rodents, they go someplace more hospitable. Of course, it's hard to avoid being hospitable to the mosquitoes. But still, as you said, there's repellents. So the repellents don't kill them. There's mosquitoes. You know, we have like kill the mosquito. There's other ways also. You drive them away. The Otomos is there. The mosquito nets are there. The neem is useful. The various neem products that will chase away the mosquitoes. And you get to know, Prabhupada used to use smoke because the mosquitoes have, you know, we all get to know mosquitoes very well. What their program is, they come at a certain time, just as the dusk, and that's when they start hunting. At dusk, Prabhupada had the program in Mayapur, especially Vrindavan, that they would, devotees would come and would kind of smoke, you know, like incense and smoke. and then the mosquitoes, they fill the whole room. Fill the whole room. The mosquitoes, you know, they don't like it. They don't.
And one more thing I wanted to ask, like when we casually troll or stroll or we walk in the park or on the roads, many ants and many organisms get killed unknowingly from us. So how big is this apparatus and should we...
It's big, you're responsible. Every time you walk on the grass, you're killing something. Every time you pick up a glass of water and put it down, you're killing someone. Every time you light a fire to cook chapati, you're killing. Therefore, there's, in householder life especially, there are yajñas, panchashuna yajña, to compensate for these sins. Because they're sin, even though you're not intentionally doing it, but you're doing it, so then you're responsible. So there's different yajñas prescribed for trying to neutralize the sins. But in Krishna consciousness, automatically, because you're engaged in the service of Krishna, these sins are canceled. Inadvertence or unintentional sins of that kind, they're taken care of.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaji.
Hare Krishna.
I had a question from Gita. Like Arjuna's argument, compassion, enjoyment, Lord answers this in verses 2 point. I wanted to ask why Buddhi Yoga has been translated as devotional service to Lord or working in Krishna consciousness.
Gyanavan maam prapadyate. Krishna says, Bhavanam janmanamante, Gyanavan maam prapadyate. When one surrenders, one finally comes to the point of knowledge, which is your final point of intelligence, he surrenders to me. Elsewhere it's said, Sadbhuttaya sparatvana sannishtas tatparayana krishantya punaravritin Canon near Kuta, Kalmasha. When one's buddhi, nishta, everything are fixed on Krishna, then he's free from all material reactions and it goes back to that. So if one is actually intelligent, he surrenders to Krishna. Therefore, buddhi yoga. Prabhupada's translating, he can't just be very literal. Buddhi means intelligence, this means this. But he's, what would you say, he's giving you the holistic or synthesized picture. Because there's so many Bhagavad Gita's, you come to the end of reading it, and you're still bewildered. You don't know what to do. Like you read the sixth chapter, and it says, well, you sit on a sitting place which is not too high, not too low, with a deer skin or a soft cloth, and you fix your eyes on the tip of your nose, and you half open and half shut eyes, and you practice this and you practice that. So, yeah, you can just read a Bhagavad Gita that tells you to do it, but Prabhupada puts it all in context. So that you can just say, I know, I read a Bhagavad Gita before I came to this movement, and I thought it was very profound, but I had no idea what to do. You know, you can't put the pieces together. So Prabhupada's pulling all the pieces together, and he's giving you the word-for-word meaning. You can see what's there. You don't have to, it's not like he's trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. But you get it pulled together so that you can have a whole instead of little pieces lying around.
I have one more question. In the verse 2.46, the shloka is Yavan artha utpane sarvata samplutodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijnanata. Its translation says,
All purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served by to one who knows the purpose behind them. But the word-for-word translation says the Brahmanasya Vijnanatha means the man complete in the knowledge of the supreme Brahman. But the whole translation says the purpose behind them.
Yes, Brahmanasya, the purpose behind them means Krishna consciousness. Brahmanasya Vijnanatha. Vijnanatha means having realized, and Brahmanasya. Brahmanasya means of Krishna. Krishna is Param Brahma. So the purpose behind everything, what is that? Vedaischa Sarvara Amedavedi. Purpose of all the Vedas is to understand Krishna. So Krishna is the purpose behind the Vedas. So when, so the two things are not inconsistent.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna Maharaj. I had a question regarding free will and destiny. So I was always confused. This matrix I am not able to understand. So what I wanted to see here is, say suppose a person is destined to be at a place X. Okay, and now what is free will? How does this particular equation works here?
It seems contradictory because on the one side you have free will and on the other side there's outcomes, right?
Maharaj, in that case, I coming to Krishna consciousness, being attracted to Krishna, Prabhupada, is this a free will of mine or is it a destiny because of my bhakti in my previous janma, something like that?
Yeah. Free will and destiny are connected. I have free will and therefore I decide to book a flight to London. And then, next thing I know, I'm on a flight to London. Not because destiny has suddenly pulled the flight out of London from nowhere, but I contributed to that destiny. I made a choice. I'm not going to go to Singapore. I'm going to go to London. So in that sense, I make my own destiny. Man is the architect of his own fortune. Of course, it's within limitations. Finally, everything is daiva, determined by the personality of Godhead. Determined means without his agreement or participation his agreement, nothing, you can, nothing lives. Nothing lives. The child, he wants to do this or that, he has freedom, he can do as he likes, but if the mother says, no, you can't do this, finished. Or you may say, and I want to buy a ticket to London. Fine, you're free, buy a ticket to London. But the ticket to London costs, I don't know, however many rupees, and you have half as much. So you're not likely to go right now. It's not that whatever I think, I have free will, so whatever I want to do, it automatically is within my scope. There are other contributing constraints.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is, although I am philosophically convinced that Krishna is the actual maintainer and every situation that is happening in my life is because of his mercy as well as my reactions, like whatever I have done in my past life. So, but like when situations come, like for example, there is loss of money, or there is, someone has hurt us, or we are into a situation which is not likely favorable for that particular moment. At that point of time, how can I remember? And how can I remember that yes, this is Krishna's mercy actually? And
therefore, it requires training. You have to cook a big meal, and it, you know, just it has to be to such and such standard. So if you go in and say, now what do I do? Then you'll be in anxiety and problems. But if you've practiced, if you've been trained, if you know, okay, this subject, this subject, this subject, this subject, this spice, this spice, this spice,
I do this, 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 then it's not very difficult. You just have to take advantage of what you're already trained for. In the battlefield, you know, both the soldiers don't just go in there and go, now what do I do? They're trained. So we have to be trained so that when there is difficulty, when there is a challenge, we have philosophy to fall back on, we have our spiritual strength, we have our dependence on Krishna, we have the spiritual vision. Otherwise, if you wait for the challenge to come and you're unprepared. In the America, they have an organization for young people, the Boy Scouts. So the Boy Scout motto is, be prepared.
Maharaj, Krishna sometimes worshipped Lord Shiva and as an incarnation of Lord Buddha, he did because to cheat at least. So could you please elaborate on this, how he cheated at least by sometimes worshipping Lord Shiva?
Hold the microphone closer, if you will, and ask the same question again.
Sorry, Maharaj. So Lord Krishna sometimes worshipped Lord Shiva, as he has incarnated as Buddha to cheat atheist. So could you please elaborate on that? I'm not able to connect the dots. Like how
Krishna sometimes worships Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva doesn't appear as Buddha. Krishna appears as Buddha.
Yes.
So then the question is, which dots do we want connected here?
How he cheat atheist with this?
How did he cheat the atheist? Yes, we don't want to worship God. We don't want to follow the Vedas. We're going to make a clean break from all of these things. What are we going to do? We're going to worship you. And we see in all the Buddhist countries, they're keeping the form of Lord Buddha. They're sitting before the Buddha. They're meditating on Buddha. What are they doing? They're meditating on Krishna. And thereby, they're following the Vedas. So that's called Jiva.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question. So my question is, why Lord Krishna used Dwapar Yuga only to come on earth in his original form?
Why does Krishna choose Dwapar Yuga only to come in his original form? There's the question. Because he wants to.
Why?
Anyway.
He has free will.
Why not in Satyuga and Treta?
He comes in every yuga.
But in another form, right?
Yeah.
Why?
So one point you can say is to keep pace with the Vedas. The Vedas are his writings, so just to keep the truth of the Vedas. The Vedas say that in Satya Yuga he comes in the white incarnation, and in the Treta Yuga he comes in red incarnation, in the Dwapara Yuga he comes in black incarnation. So if he comes in a white incarnation in Dwapara Yuga, that's not very good. He has to keep pace with the Vedas and uphold his own word, as it were. So then he comes in Krishna form in Dwapara Yuga.
I have another question. God performs his pastime in spiritual world, right? So, is there an infinite souls or a limited soul? If so, so...
Is there an infinite soul or a limited soul?
Limited amount. I mean...
Unlimited number of souls?
Yeah, number. Limited or infinite number of souls.
Infinite. Yeah.
So new souls are not created in...
No, there's no such thing as a new soul.
Okay.
What is that? The Jayate Miyate Va. Krishna says, for the soul there's no birth. Nitya is ever-existing, Shashvat. There's no new world for the soul.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
As
Krishna consciousness teaches that you should be satisfied with whatever you get. So while working in the corporate world, I do not feel motivation that, okay, if I know X technology, then I should study Y technology to get some growth in my career. If we just get satisfied that if it comes, then we will do. If it doesn't come, then it should be fine. Then I do not find any, then people will say that I am lazy. I am not doing anything extra to, go ahead. Or I should just get satisfied with whatever I have.
Yeah, that's the corporate ethos. You should always be dissatisfied. You should work and work and work and never be satisfied. What is that? What kind of life is that? That you come work for us. I mean, who would sign up with the corp? You know, work for our company. You'll always be dissatisfied.
But soon we will become outdated because if we do not.
That's good. You can stay home and raise your children and chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Why do you have to be in corporate life for your whole life?
Because ultimately what money you get, you can utilize that money in Krishna conscious as well.
There's a very interesting article. It was written by a young Israeli girl. It was pointed out to me by one of my god sisters. This young girl had been a feminist and a kind of like a free spirit and very modern girl, doing anything and everything and all of that. And at a certain point, she realized that she was being taken advantage of, that she wasn't happy, that she was, it all amounted to nothing. And she turned around and became very, very traditional. Not Vedic traditional, Jewish traditional, but traditional, and became interested in having a good husband, a good home, children, and all of that, which now she has. And she was, so it was a complete turnaround. She went from being, a free woman to being very traditional. And she had a blog, and people would write to her, and feminists would write to her, like, what's so wrong with having your own career? I'm happy with my career. So she'd say, good for them, but do the math. You're working. This much of your earnings go to taxes. This much of your earnings goes to transportation. This much of your earnings go to food because you have to eat out now. You can't eat at home. This much goes to your work uniform. This much goes to training and all that career advancement stuff. This much. And at the end, you have enough money left to pay for childcare. So she thought, what kind of fool am I? I'll skip the work and I'll stay home and take care of my own child. So it's a kind of trick. Come work for us, be ever dissatisfied, advance in your career, going nowhere for no good reason. Help us in our project of having cheap labor because we can always pay you less than a man. And we can pay the men less also because we can always replace you with a woman. So you might think about it. There are people who make career choices where their choice is that I'm not going to aspire to be, at the very top, and here's where I am, here's where I want to be, and yes, I could go higher and higher, but I wouldn't be happy. So they deliberately take a position which is less competitive, less, offers less opportunity for climbing up the ladder, but they have more time, they have more peace of mind, they have more satisfaction, they have more Krishna consciousness. It's not that, you know, the higher up you go, the better life your life becomes. Sometimes the wise career choice is, well, sometimes it's retirement, depending where you are in your life. Sometimes it's skipping career altogether for something that's more important. Sometimes it's advancing in your career. And sometimes it's calibrating and saying, you know, here's where I want to be, and this is a good level for me. I don't have to compete for, you know, the top spot always. Did you make a sit down and do one of those exercises? You can make a chart. You know, what matters most to me? Prioritize. You know, if what matters most to you is money and career and position and what title is on your business card, well, okay, you know where you're going to go or what you're going to strive for. If something else is more important to you, then strive for that. And let those who, you know, their goal in life is to have as many titles as possible, let them call you a fool. What do you care? The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yana Shasa Bhutana. What's day for the materialist is night for the self-realized soul. And what's day for the self-realized soul is night for the materialist. You know, they think we're crazy, we think they're crazy. Something else?
Maharaj, I have another question.
You do?
Sometimes, like it happens in our bad times, like the situations which are not under our favor, we being surrounded by the material energy, we try to take the control and we try to settle down the things correctly as in which will be in our favor, which we seems to be correct. So irrespective of knowing that Lord is there and He is going to, you know, make things correct, and everything is happening because He wants it. So why it happens sometimes, like we take the control and we try to make things correct?
Take control means perform your duty. Everyone has some duty to perform. Don't be attached to the result, but be attached to the duty. This is what I have to do. And it may come out successful or it may come out failure, but I did what I was supposed to do. That's the ideal. Not that you'll always succeed. Sometimes you succeed, sometimes you fail. But you did what you were supposed to do. That's glory. Even if you fail doing your prescribed duties, that's glorious. The Jatayu tried to stop Ravana. He failed. Ravana cut off his wings. But he was glorious. That Lord Ramchandra himself performed the funeral ceremony for Jatayu. His bird has given his life for me. Lord Ram didn't say, he was a failure. The material world, success or failure, it's all failure. And in the spiritual world, success or failure, it's all success.
Thank you, Maharaj.
538.
We stop. Last question.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, if you can share any of your first time with Prabhupada.